You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning in the studio we've got Duncan McDonald, who's a student in the Civil and Environmental Engineering School at the Faculty of Engineering here at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Duncan, how are you this morning?
Morning, I'm good, thanks, happy to be here.
Oh, it's nice to have you in. You've been doing some really interesting research into the resilience, or improving the resilience of marae during disasters and climate emergencies, which feels very topical at the moment. How did you get into this research area?
Yeah, exactly. So I think you're right there that it was very topical. Lux, my research partner and myself, we selected this project in probably February, so it was right around the time we had that wider conversation going on. But the university itself got involved through some of the work that Professor Jason Ingham's been doing down with Opeki Marae, which is in Opotiki. They're looking at some of the historic building techniques. So as a bit of an add-on to that, we looked at the wider disaster capability for the marae.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So obviously, marae have been forever, important places for people to gather when there is a crisis, and they always bring people in, look after folks when something's going on, and we certainly saw that with the flooding and the Cyclone Gabrielle fallout this year as well. What specifically have you been looking into with your research?
Yeah, so I think that one of the challenges for a lot of these marae and these hapu groups is there's a really wide range of literature out there from the United Nations and similar organisations, but it tends to be lots of criteria and it can get pretty overwhelming. So I suppose to sort of break it down, what we tried to do is understand a bit of the purpose behind some of those criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually that means that, you know, instead of looking at and you've got a whole lot of crosses on your sheet, you can actually prioritise and make next steps, which is really important for marae where money tends to be quite tight.
Yeah, totally. So what specifically is that criteria looking at? Is that for suitability to be safe spaces, or what's the thing you're actually looking at there?
Yeah, so there's a big range. We look at what a good emergency shelter would look like. So
right.
We've got a nominated capacity down at Opeki for 1,000 people over 3 days. And we just looked at all of the things that you might consider either as sort of definites, must-haves, things like your food, your water and your sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some of those nice-to-have and extra things. And actually that's where the marae has some really unique benefits.
Yeah, totally. And I imagine a lot of that is to do with being people on the ground who understand the community and also being able to hold people in their cultural competency space as well. What's it been like for you coming from an engineering background working with marae and working on this particular angle?
Yeah, I think that really it's a sort of a step away from some of the more technical engineering stuff, but it is still really important, and it's a pretty big aspect in the department here. We've got great researchers, our supervisor Dr. Sandeka Manakara. She's done some fantastic work in the disaster space, and it really is an interesting area of engineering because you have that overlap between social kind of requirements and practical solutions, which engineering can provide.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you been drawing on for your research? Is it present stuff? Have you been looking to past disasters and the way that marae have coped with that? How have you kind of done your research?
Yeah, so we sort of looked globally at what the situation was. We try to look at some similar countries. There's great literature in places like Malaysia, where you have a lot of disasters, but also they have a lot of mosques, which mm-hmm. tend to function quite similarly to how we might see a role for marae in New Zealand. And then within New Zealand, we just looked at what was actually happening on the ground in Opeki and some of the characteristics that might hold true across multiple marae. Our scope's limited to the one site, but I think a good next step would kind of be to look at the wider opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were some of those things that they were doing at Opeki that were specifically interesting to you guys?
Yeah, so I think one of the really unique and cool things about Opeki is that it's such an old marae. So off the top of my head, I think the Whareanui has been on that site for about 100 years.
Wow.
So there's a great kind of community knowledge, but also that means that the site itself, you know, we've got kind of this historical evidence that it's actually a safe place, and it's
absolutely
kind of unchanging, even in, you know, an area where you do experience lots of flooding, you can experience earthquakes, volcanoes and kind of everything down there in Opotiki. So I think that was a real strength, and because of that it's got this great kind of community and really grassroots sort of backing behind it, and a lot of volunteers, so it has some opportunity there.
Totally. So I'm imagining for spaces like Marae, and particularly Marae perhaps, because those community networks are already existing, it gives them a special ability to be able to support community when something does go wrong. When you're looking at perhaps spaces that aren't necessarily so culturally central to community as Marae are there things that you're imagining you'd be able to take from Marae examples and use in other disaster management centres or relief centres?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting thoughts there as well. So when you look at some of the coastal and rural communities in New Zealand, actually some of the research says that we're some of the best in the world when it comes to our resilience. Mm. And I mean, if you think that sort of makes sense, right? You've got these communities that have been isolated, and especially some of these hapu and iwi, they've sort of said, this is our land, we're staying here.
Mm.
So they're going to deal with it. Which actually means that, you know, this kind of community and grassroots driven shelter and this idea of community shelter, that's a real both an opportunity and a challenge. And actually in New Zealand and around the world, it's going to be something that governments need to work out. How are we going to fund and sort of support the innate resilience of these communities?
Absolutely. What is next for you and your research on this?
Yeah, well, a break, I hope. It's feels like it's been a long year and we're coming to the end of it. But
yes.
So you can often get a bit jaded. But no, I think it's been really interesting working in a disaster space, and I've done a lot of learning on that this year. So I hope to find an opportunity to apply it either professionally or at some point come back into study.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us about your research. Super, super important at the moment and really interesting as well. Duncan, thanks for coming in today.
No worries. Thank you guys very much for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.